Hallelujah. Well, I'm sorry we had to have a recess. I think we all needed a recess. And sometimes when we have a recess, we have time to think about what we heard. Amen. You know, Jesus loves His church. Jesus loves the people. And if we're going to be working with Jesus, with sheep, we have to learn to love sheep. Amen. I want to tell you one little story about sheep. About 20 years ago, somebody gave my wife a little baby lamb ewe sheep. And I knew how to take care of cows, but I didn't know how to take care of a little sheep. And the little sheep wanted to believe that my wife was her mother. And she wanted to follow my wife everywhere she goes. She wanted to come in the house, and we would not let the sheep come in the house. And so my wife said, sheep must eat grass. She must be out in the yard where the grass is. So we made a little enclosure with a little electric wire fence. It was the kind I used for cows. I put it way down low. And if I touch it, I thought, oh, that'll keep the sheep where she belongs. See, I have pastor thinking. I have cow thinking. So we put her out there, and we waited till she fell asleep. And we carefully walk away. Well, as soon as she woke up and saw that we were gone, she can ran right through that fence. She didn't care whether it was electric or not. She wanted her shepherd. So we said, this isn't working. We have to do something else. So we read in John chapter 10, and I looked up some words, and it means that the sheep, there is something about what is inside the shepherd that attracts the sheep.
Ilang kaplagan na ang taniro niya ay nakasilay na natawa sa sulod sa
his nature is attracting the sheep. So I said, this is a natural sheep and she has smell. She smells the shepherd. So my wife had this shirt that she wore when she was cleaning the house and working. And the shirt had her smell. Very strong. But good for sheep. So we went out in her pen. I put a piece of stick in the ground. I put the anointed shirt on the stick. And I tied the shirt to the stick. I said, there. Now the anointing is here. So we did the same thing again. We slowly walked away. And she woke up. And she came running. But she came by the anointed shirt. And she smelled the shepherdess. And she must have said, this is where the anointing is. This is where I will stay. So she learned to stay because the shepherdess left her anointing there with the sheep. Now, in the days of Jesus, now I'm talking about the kingdom of God, alright? I'm not just coming against ministry, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. And the disciples were with Jesus for 3.5 years. And they had their idea of what the kingdom of God meant. Now, what do you think that James and John and Peter, what do you think that they thought was the kingdom of God? What was the kingdom in their mind? Okay, you're afraid or you give up, so I'll tell you. They had these thrones in mind. The big throne in the middle. Okay. Jesus is master, he can have that throne. 2 more thrones, one on this side, one on that side. And it was going to look a little bit like the days of King David. He would have a palace. He would have armed guards. He would have lots of soldiers. And best of all, we're going to kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. And we Jewish people are going to rule Israel. No more uncircumcised Gentiles around
here.
Amen. And then we're going to rule the world. And so the mother of James and John came to Jesus. It says she came worshiping.
Jesus.
And he said, "Woman, what do you want?" He knew what she wanted. Well, she said, "In your kingdom, I want my two sons. This throne and that throne." What kind of kingdom did she have in mind? What would those two positions be in the Philippines? What do you call the top people after the president?
Vice President and Secretary.
Oh, Vice President and Secretary. Okay. All right. Or it might be Minister of Defense. And Minister of Finance. Oh, there's lots of positions for all the apostles. Now, you think this is funny? Do you know that there are many, many Christian people that believe that's what it's going to be like in the kingdom of God? I've heard people talk. And they name this big television preacher and they say, "Well, I think he's going to be president." And they name some other names. "Well, he's going to be governor of our state and he's going to be governor of this state." Do we still think that about the kingdom of God? Well, but the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Him, doesn't it? That means I can have this seat over here. I'm going to rule with Him. What do you think it means that we would rule in righteousness? What do you think it means when it says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink? See, some churches make the kingdom of God rules about what they can eat, what they can't eat, days of worship, days of this, days of that, days of celebration. Some of them say, "Well, we need to find more laws. We need to go back in Moses and we need to find out more laws." So, you see, church people have a hard time understanding what is the kingdom of God.
Ang mga katawan na anak na pagsimba sa tumingin ng Diyos, unya, anong nariya, panunggal, karo, may tumusigin na riyan sa
John chapter 3 says that you cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And Jesus said you cannot enter the kingdom unless you are born of the water and the Spirit. Born of water and Spirit. Is that difficult to understand? Jesus told Nicodemus that shouldn't be hard for you. He said to Nicodemus, if you can't understand that, how can you understand if I try to tell you spiritual things? So, right up until the crucifixion, shall I say right up until the resurrection, better I should say right up until the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' disciples did not know the meaning of the kingdom of God. After 3.5 years in the school of Jesus Christ, how long is your school, brother?
3 years.
3 years. Good time, isn't it? So at the end of 3 years, are you going to know what is the kingdom of God? Well, James and John did not know. And their mother didn't know. So Jesus said to them, he said, you don't know what you're asking of me. In other words, you have no idea of heaven. You believe that heaven is going to be operated just like you people operate earth. Okay, you want to be on my right hand and on my left hand. Let me ask you a question. Are you able to drink of my cup? What cup? Where do you find, come on, in the Bible, where do you find Jesus' cup? Where does he talk about his cup? Come on, you can answer. In his suffering, where? In the garden. In the garden. Just before the cross. And he's
Gethsemane.
Okay. And he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. So, are you able to drink of his cup? Alright, what will you be drinking if you drink his cup? For first of all, you will be drinking. Say the word, the S word. Suffering. Okay. Okay. What did the Apostle Paul say? That I may know him. It's in Philippians. That I may know him. How many of you want to know him? Amen. What else did he say? That I may know him, and what else? And the fellowship of his suffering. Fellowship of his suffering. Are you reading it, sister? Did you find it? No. Did you find it? No. We're going to have to find it.
Okay.
Philippians where? I think it's in Philippians. Quite sure it is. Where? You know, it's one I don't have underlined. That I may know him. What? Okay. There it is. 3:10. Yeah. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection. I'm sorry, I left that one out. Because everybody wants to know the power of his resurrection, don't you? How many of you want the power to raise the dead? Yes, isn't that resurrection power? Alright, now here's the requirements. Fellowship of his suffering. Read the rest of it, sister. Being made conformable unto his death. How many of you are ready to go to death? I'm going to tell you something. You can laugh if you want. If you want all the power, then you are willing to lay your life down. Come on. I am not saying anything I cannot prove in 2 or 3 more places in the Bible. I can take you all night and I can prove it to you. You're going to have to go home and study. You want me to tell you something? I like this kingdom word when I first heard it. I liked all that power. Amen. I like the power to kill the devil. I like that part that no thing can harm you. But when I began to read the last part of it, I began to say, I wonder if there's some other way to get out of this. Because I love my life. Amen. But now I want to tell you, I love the kingdom of God, and I will give my life because it's more important than my life.
Amen.
And he that will lose his life for the sake of Christ will gain his life eternal. But he that will try to save his life, preserve himself, preserve his flesh, Jesus said it's going to turn the opposite, you're going to lose it. Are you able to drink of my cup? Here's the cup. It's filled with death. Here's the cup of death. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Jesus knew. And are you able to be baptized with my baptism? Sure, no problem. Get the man in the water. Put him in, pull him out, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. There, am I baptized with his baptism? Is that what he meant? Is that all he meant? That I need to go in the water and come back out? That enough?
No,
you're suspicious. That might not be all he meant. Come on, brethren, students of the Bible, you have to start asking questions. What did he mean? Do you think he might have been talking about something that John the Baptist said back in Matthew chapter 3? John said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that is coming after me is mightier than I, I'm not worthy to bear his shoes. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So what did Jesus mean? Are you able to be baptized with my baptism? Was he talking about the day of Pentecost?
Well,
120 gathered together, upper room, fire, tongues of fire. Speak in tongues. Okay, that's all. They got it. Is that all? Oh, you're still suspicious. Do you want to know what happened to these disciples? He said to them, you will indeed drink of my cup and you will indeed be baptized with my baptism. Now we won't talk about Judas, but let's talk about the others, and we can include Paul. We can include Stephen. Every one of them gave their life. Martyred, everyone. Are you still ready to... Do you still want that seat? By the way, he didn't tell them they could have that seat. he said, no, no, I'm not giving away the seats. Amen. Now let's see what he said. Okay. But he said, to sit on my left, right and my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them to whom it is prepared of my Father. I'm not putting any names on those seats. You know, I'm not even sure that they're natural seats. You know, the Bible is a spiritual book. We need to do some teaching next time I have a chance. We need to talk about spiritual understanding. What these words mean. If you're going to understand kingdom things, you need to understand what these things mean so that you can have spiritual understanding. Amen. What did Paul say? He said the natural man does not understand spiritual things. So you see, there are Christians who are natural, flesh-oriented Christians. And then there are Christians who are oriented to the things of the Spirit. Let me say this about churches. There are born again Bible preaching churches that are natural oriented. And there are churches who are spiritual oriented. And that doesn't just mean churches who believe in the baptism of the Spirit are all Spirit oriented. They are not. You know, some of the Pentecostal churches that I know, are not Spirit oriented and they do not allow the gifts of the Spirit. When God first thrust me out of an evangelical church that was preaching salvation and baptism, I went to a Pentecostal church. I was very much in trouble in my life. I was very hungry for truth. And the very first time I came to this Pentecostal church, the pastor prophesied. Yea, my people, the Lord would comfort thee this day. Be thou encouraged. For the Lord doth love thee greatly. I thought, this is good, I like this. I came the second time. Pastor prophesied again. Yea, my people, the Lord would say unto thee, be thou encouraged in the Lord. Third time he did it again. And I said, I've got it. I could say that. So then I went to the man and I said, brother. Yes, I called him brother. I said, brother, I'm really glad that this church prophesies. I said, you know, brother, I'm in a lot of trouble in my life. Would you seek the Lord, and maybe do you ever give a word to anybody about what God would say to them? He said, oh no. Directed prophecy, no. I said, no, why not? Because it can be abused. Well, you know, any gifts can be abused. And so, because we cannot handle the gifts of the Spirit, in the proper way, then we say, no. No more gifts of the Spirit. Somebody misused it. And you see, this is exactly what happened in the churches. They began to die spiritually. The gift of the apostle and the gift of the prophet was no longer accepted in their midst. And so now they made a doctrine that says these gifts are dead. Well, when did they die? Well, John was the last apostle that died, so that must be when they died. But I read you the scripture that said these gifts are given until we come in the unity of faith. Into a perfect man in Christ. So, we need to be ready to receive God's gifts. Shall I say we need a restoration of God's order in the church? For hundreds of years, the church has fallen. They have followed Babylon. And in these last days, God is restoring His order again. Jesus said that Elijah will come and He will restore all things. Now, what are you expecting of Elijah coming? Will you see an old man with long gray hair and a long gown? Hairy man. 3,000-year-old man. Come on, brethren. That is not what he meant. He meant the Elijah company of God's people are coming back in the spirit of Elijah again. Come on. Listen, young people. You can move in the power and spirit of Elijah in these last terrible, great and terrible days of the Lord. God is giving you an invitation, and you can have something better than the position of pastor in any church anywhere in this world. You can have a place of authority in God. From the eldest to the youngest of you. This little baby can prophesy in those days. Out of the mouth of babes. Come on, I have seen miracles come from the mouth of little 3-year-old children. Little 3-year-old granddaughter, 3 years old, came to my wife and prophesied to the healing of her foot. And when she got done, she rebuked the devil and said, "Get away from her and don't hurt her anymore." And my wife was healed from that minute. Something better than positions.
Amen.
Something better than titles. Come on, the Word of God is offering you the best. But you're going to have to pay a price. It's going to cost you all that you have. Alright. Back to Matthew 20. You will indeed drink of my cup, and you will indeed be baptized. Oh, I didn't finish what John was saying, did I? He said he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. All right, Bible students. The meaning of the word baptize.
Ang meaning or kahulugan sa pulong bautismo.
Immerse. Oh, we got a good student here in the front. Where's these guys in the back? I want to hear you answer these questions. Don't let this little sister in the front get all the A's. Baptized means to be immersed partially. Partially or completely? Completely. Okay. Now he said, baptize you in the Holy Ghost. That means all of me in the Holy Ghost. Nothing of me sticking out.
Na wala nagani ako ng mo si ko may kapay pa.
no aspect of flesh. But all of me in Holy Ghost. Do you think that might be the fullness of Christ? Alright, now the other part is baptized in fire. Are you looking forward to it? You enjoy fire? Have you been burnt? Tell me what fire feels like. Painful. How about being baptized in fire? All of me in fire. Well, now you know that your natural body would never be able to live in that condition. But you know that your soul can go into fire. Your mind. Your will. Your desires. Your emotions. Why would God want to put your soul in fire? A sister can answer this. Why would God want your emotions to be put into fire? What does fire do to things? What does fire do? It burns things up. In other words, everything that fire touches, it changes. And when the fire is finished, what's left behind? The things that cannot be burned. And so the kingdom of God, in Hebrews it says that everything will be shaken. So that the only thing left behind will be the kingdom which cannot be shaken. So today, the Word of God is shaking your mind. You are hearing things that you are not used to hearing. And it is shaking your mind. But the purpose is so that it will shake out things that do not belong in the kingdom of God. It will remove things of the kingdom of man. It will remove things of the kingdom of religion. And the only thing left will be that which is of the kingdom of God. All right, back to Matthew 20. And Jesus called them unto him, and he said in verse 25, you know, 2025, Matthew.
Pagpalingkod dati sa akong tuho, sa akong wala kini, dili akong makatugod. Apan kini, alang lamang kanilang nga mga di kinahangran o di kinaliini sa ako ang amahan.
Now, I don't have a place to draw. He read it in your language. I'll read it quickly in English. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Now, I have a drawing in my hand. Alright, princes. Princes exercise dominion over people. But great ones exercise dominion over the princes. Did you understand? What we have here is we have only small great ones. Small number. We have more princes. And under that we have everybody else. We have a pyramid. Now, where does this system operate? It operates where? No, just stick with what Jesus said. It operates among the who? Gentiles. Gentiles. Alright, who are the Gentiles? What'd you say? Okay, in the natural, we are probably Gentiles. But now we must put on spiritual understanding. Jesus is saying Gentiles means the people of the world. Gentiles, the world. In the world, you have people ruling over other people. And you have great people ruling over them. So it works good in the world. It's a good system for the world. Okay, now in the land of Philippines, who is the name of your great one? The president?
Yeah.
It's a woman, isn't it?
No.
Oh, no. No more woman president?
No.
Is it her husband?
The son.
Oh, the son has it now. Okay, well, they're great ones, aren't they? She's a great one. Her son is a great one.
Aquino.
Oh. Yeah. Is that Corey's son?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when she was president.
All
right, now, of Education and Minister of Finance and what are all those titles? And way down at the bottom, the people of the Philippines. All the kingdoms of the governments of the world operate this way. They are all Gentile kingdoms, including Israel. Israel operates the same way. They operate like a Gentile kingdom. The military. Generals. Colonels. Lieutenants. Sergeants. Privates. These are all Gentile kingdoms. You have a factory. You have a factory. You have a big corporation. Coca-Cola Corporation. Microsoft Corporation. Same thing. Big one on top. Others down. Down. All right.
Okay.
But isn't that an interesting word? But but it shall not be so among you. What did he mean by you? Was he talking to the disciples about church? Well, let's take the worst example you can think of. Roman Catholic. Roman Catholic Church. Who's on top? Pope. Who comes next? Cardinals, archbishops. Bishops. Bishops. Priests. People. Jesus said, it shall not be so among you. Well, praise God. We're a Pentecostal organization. We don't do that. Or do we? Well, we have a general superintendent at the top. Then we have district superintendents. Then we have presbyters. And then we have pastors. And then we have people. But we don't have a pope. But we are doing what Jesus said, it shall not be among you. Because you are brethren, one of another. So, then he made the point, and I'm going to give you the correct word, not the King James word. He said, whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Amen. Oh no, whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Great.
Para mo greta, para mo taas, para mo ni.
How many of you want to be great? Come on, I want to be great too. Yes, I want to be great. It's okay, raise your hand. Now, how many of you want to be chief? Come on, you can be chief. He said, let him be your slave. Now, I don't know, you don't have slaves around here, not that you know of. But what I understand of a slave is he has no rights. If he's mistreated, he can't go to the police and say, the man violated my rights. I want him arrested. No, you're a slave. So if you are going to be a true servant of God, of Jesus Christ, you will not be able to be offended. You can stand and give people the word of God, and they can hate you and throw stones at you and throw tomatoes at you. And you will not be angry. And you will not be offended. But I can shake off my shoes and I don't have to come back. Because you didn't want to hear the word. But I would be a slave, and my master would say, okay, go somewhere else now and preach that word. And a slave has to obey. A slave never questions his master. He never says no to his master. But master, it's too hot in the Philippines. But master, I don't like rice. But master, you know, no. The slave must obey his master. And he must enjoy obeying his master. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, now, I want to follow up on why he said, that if you want to be chief, you must be the slave. Revelation chapter 2. Now this is Jesus speaking the word to John the Apostle. Do you know why John was in Patmos? He was in Patmos because they tried to kill him and they couldn't kill him. He was a very old man. They put him in a pot of boiling oil. And And God would not allow him to die that way. So they put him on the island of Patmos to get him away from the church. All right, now, the second letter to Ephesus. Verse 6. He says, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 15, the second church. Actually the third church, the church of Pergamos. Verse 15, he says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate.
Mengingon man ana usab kalimo ang pipila ka man nagsunod sa tuluuhan sa mga Nicolaita.
Okay. Who are the Nicolaitans?
Kinsa man ang Nicolaita?
Who are they?
Kinsa man ang Nicolaita?
Who are they and what is their doctrine?
Kinsa man ang matawala o nyaw sa mga pudalilahang pagtulunan?
Well, here's one where the Strong's Concordance isn't going to help you. And I invite you to go look it up. It gives you a meaning that doesn't mean anything. It says that it was a sect of people that didn't believe good things or something like that. In other words, Brother Strong was afraid to even give the proper definition of that word. It is a Greek word made up of two words. It is the word Niko and Laitan. The word Niko means to rule over or to take dominion over or to exercise power over. Laitan means the people, the laity. Now, you go to the Strong Concordance and you look up the word Nicolopolis. And it means the city that they took the rule over, they conquered. Perfect, good definition. Look up the word Nicodemus. The man that takes the rule over. But you see, the church is afraid of the word Nicolaitan. Because God said He hates it. Now, have you ever heard of the Schofield Bible? Have any of you ever been Baptist? Did you ever, any of you come out of a Baptist church? Okay, they like the Schofield Bible. I used to have a Schofield Bible. And they give these definitions at the bottom of the page. But somebody told me that the old original Schofield Bible gave the true definition. So I began looking for the old original Schofield Bible. And I mentioned that one day. And people brought me four or five or six old Schofield Bibles. And it is true. Old Brother Schofield gave the correct definition of Nicolaitan.
Oh, Catholic brother, Schofield, nagsulti kayo, kung unsa kayo ang tinunanay kayo nga kahulugan sa Nicolaitan.
And he said, what happened is that a system of clergy developed in the church which separated the church into two classes of people, clergy and laity. And this is what God hates. Come now, brethren. If God hates something, if God hates something, do I want to be part of it? And that's what the churches have done. It doesn't matter what title or name they claim. I suppose you could do it with the word brother. You must call me brother. You call me Mark. I am of the class brother. No, I'm just saying, you can do it with any name. It isn't just changing the title that's going to change the whole thing. It's the attitude of the heart. If the shepherd believes that he has a higher class, a higher rank than the people, it's Nicolaitan. Can I take up one more thing quickly? Oh my. How long do you go here?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Okay. All right. Let's let's bring one more thing. Acts chapter 20. Then I'll quit. Then you can throw the tomatoes. Come on, brethren. Brethren, God wants you, if you want to be in God's ministry, He wants you there. Come on. We have a calling in God. Brother Bird and I, we have a calling in God. This word is not destroying our calling in God. I want to go out and preach truth to people. I don't want to be ashamed before Jesus Christ and admit to Him that I have been preaching lies. And neither do you. Amen. And little sisters, you're going to have husbands someday. And you're going to stand with your husband. And if he turns to the right or the left, you're going to say, "But brother husband, the word of God says thus and thus." So come on. When my wife used to come at me with this finger, when she came with that prophetic finger, I knew I'd better keep my mouth quiet and listen to what God was saying. And my pride needed to be brought down. Men, we are a prideful lot. And God hates flesh pride. Okay, Acts 20. Paul's last ministry in the area of Ephesus. Paul is going to Jerusalem. He does not believe he will ever see these people again. Verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Come on. This is the church of Ephesus. Did he call the pastors? Did he call the bishops? He called the elders. What does the word elder mean? Come on, it's a simple word. It means almost the same thing as English, older. older, more mature brethren who were leaders of the church. They were real people. Men who had wives and children, men who had jobs, men who worked for a living, just like Brother Bird and I did for many, many years. We worked for a living. Many, many kind of jobs I had. Amen. We struggled the same as the sheep struggle. So these are the men that Paul called to the meeting. The last words Paul will give. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock . Let's give you the Greek name for flock. Look in your notes. I gave you the word shepherd is poimen. Four 4166 poimen. That's shepherd. Now the word flock.
Ang pulong flock.
Poimnion. POIMNION 4168.
Poimnion. Ang flock.
4168. Okay, now let's go on. Over all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Verse 28.
Dagdag ninyo ang inyong kaugalingon o ang tibuok panon nga niini ang Espiritu Santo mao ang naghimo kaninyong mga magbalantay sa pagtagad sa iglesia sa Ginoo nga iya ang napatunan pinaagi sa iyang kaugalingong dugo.
Okay. So the elder, the Greek word for elder is presbyteros. Presbyteros.
Presbyteros.
You ever heard of the Presbyterian Church? Well, that's where they got their name. So, presbyteros. Now,
presbyteros.
I have bifocals. Actually, I have trifocals. And it's because the doctor said I have presbyopia. Presbyopia.
Presbyopia.
Yeah, okay. You can't change it. It means eyes of older people. Okay, so when you get older, you need other glasses to read. All right, now, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers.
Sa Espiritu Santo nga mga maglalantaw.
He didn't say the church voted for you to be overseers. He didn't say, I made you overseers. Now, Paul was in agreement with the Holy Ghost. And Paul might have recognized and said, I believe the Holy Ghost, brother, is making you an elder. But now we need to look at the word overseer. Okay, the word overseer is the Greek word episkopos. Episkopos. Okay. Now, if you go look in 1 Timothy 3, chapter 1, and I will. I just want to give you an example. First Timothy 3:1. He said, in King James, I'll read now, it says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing.
1 Timothy 3:1. Katungdanan sa pagka-obispo, ang iyang ginatinguha maoy usa ka buluhaton nga hamili.
Now, does that word imply in your language, Bishop?
Bishop.
Yeah.
Bishop.
Obispo.
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 And that's your word, Bishop.
Bishop. Obispo.
Okay. Now, here's the wrong word now. This word, when you go and look in your concordance, is the same word that is over here in Acts 28 that says overseer. So you see that the church the church system in the days of King James wanted the bishops in the church. Did I say all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see, it would be a little awkward to say that Paul called all the bishops from one little city together. No. The true meaning is overseer.
Yes.
Ang tinutanay ngayon, ganong nag-agada ni Pablo, tungod kay ang mga tao, hamtong naman lagi, kaya nga iba doon sila ang gulong sa Diyos, na ganang panako, kinanglan sila magpagamit mo itong gitinginan siya ni Pablo.
And if you read this verse in 1 Timothy 3:1, in the literal, literal Bible, it says, he who desires the oversight. I looked up the word office. No such word.
Wala ning dili mo makaplagan.
Man added to God the word office and changed it to bishop.
Ang tao lang nagasulat niya na iya kinigikuha o niya iya gidugangan o pulong na obispo.
Now some of you brethren, some of you young men are going to be called to be teachers of the word of God.
Ha? Ang mga palanon, isulat sa palang kasulatan.
You need to understand the Word of God. You need to be able to defend the Word of God. You need to know the meaning of every word that is here. And when you know what God meant and what He said, you will find that everything in the Word of God fits perfect. If it is not a perfect fit, it is because men have twisted it. Church doctrines that do not conform with the Word of God have been twisted by men and tried to make fit. And you need the Holy Ghost to tell you something is wrong here.
Amen.
You need the gift of discerning of spirits. Women can exercise in the gift of discerning of spirits. Women can exercise in prophetic. Doesn't make you a prophet, but you can have the prophetic gifts. The leadership of the church, God has given to the men. He did not say he called the elderesses. There is a Greek word elderess. But the leadership in the church and the leadership in the home, God wants men to stand up and take their place.
Ang magadumala kayo sa salun sa mandinaha kinahanglan ang lalaki. Umpisa pa sa atong panimalay, dili maghari-hari ang mga babae.
It does not minimize the place of women at all.
Dili man dili sa ingon na makapakuwag kanunosan.
It is a beautiful, pleasant thing in the eyes of God that He made women. But let us keep each one in our place of calling. If you continued reading in Timothy, it would say that he must be the husband of one wife. His house must be in order. He must have his children in order. He's not doing it for money. He's not a fighter. He's not a drinker. Many, many things, but good things about the man of God. All right, let me go back and finish with verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood.
Poimiano.
Ang pulong na feed or pakanon, itawag na siya sa Gringo ng pinulungan na Poimiano.
So the poimen, the shepherd, the poimen,
ang magbalantay, itawag siya poimen,
is to poimiano,
poimiano,
the poimian.
Poimian.
Now, you don't have to be real smart to figure out this all comes down to the same word, sheep. So, who are the pastors or the shepherds, if you want? Who are the shepherds in the flock? They are the elders. And there is a plurality of them. The church should have several. Every local church should have several elders.
Sa iglesia, daghan ang mga tao na gagamiton sa Ginoo nga mahimong hamtong mga wali sa pulong sa Dios.
He didn't say one of them will be a chief elder and the other will be the associate elder. But they will have different gifts. Not every elder will be inclined to teach. But every elder will know the Word of God. He will live and walk in righteousness. His wife will walk with him. They will be as one. She is by his side. Without her, he is incomplete. Amen. He doesn't mistreat her. And he doesn't mistreat the flock of God. Amen. Well, that's part of it. Amen.